Hi, this is Amy. Just a quick note about today's episode. Unfortunately, I didn't realize I was using the wrong audio input rather than my fancy schmancy podcast mic, so the quality of my audio isn't as good as usual, though Laura's turned out just fine because, well, let's just say she's a podcasting pro. But please stick with us and enjoy today's episode, which is chock full of advice on who you should listen to when it comes to job search and careers.
Hello, and welcome to What is Wrong with Hiring, the podcast where we talk about why hiring people and getting hired are somehow both absolute nightmares. I'm Laura Klein, a very tired hiring manager.
And I'm Amy Santee, a jaded yet cautiously hopeful career coach who is sometimes tired and sometimes energized.
We'll talk about how that energizing happens because I may need to borrow a little bit. Please be advised that this podcast may contain drinking, swearing, and screaming into the abyss, pretty much like most podcasts. Today, we are going to be talking about who you should listen to when you're looking for advice about getting a job. And like besides us, besides Amy and Laura, obviously. That would make it a very short podcast. So who else?
Yeah. There's a lot of job search advice out there on LinkedIn. You can open up LinkedIn, you can open up TikTok, Reddit even, pick a podcast, Medium articles, courses. There's a ton of information on the hiring process, getting a job, everyone sharing their experiences and perspectives with interviewing and different hot takes on designing the best resume and how to talk with hiring managers and all that good stuff. And it's great in theory. Humans being bros, as they say, and helping each other try to do what is a really hard thing, which is to go through the hiring process and get that job that you're looking for.
And all of that information is equally good, right? I just want to make sure. Yeah, it's all perfect. It's all great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great. Actually, we're here to talk about the missing factor, which I think a lot of the time is people forget to put on their critical thinking hats a bit and do their due diligence. And that is one of my favorite phrases and concepts of all time. I feel like I say it at least a couple times a week. The question is, are you being diligent enough with the information you're taking in so you're setting yourself up to be successful and making the right decisions for yourself over the course of your job search process and interviewing and all the different activities? You have to know how to separate out the noise from what's legit. And that can be really hard because anyone can say anything, anyone can write, anyone can make a podcast. You also only have so much time in the day and so much capacity and energy. Maybe you have a job already and you're also looking. So ideally you're thinking about how to get the best information in the most efficient way possible. And so we came up with a checklist of sorts of things that we think are important to pay attention to when assessing the credibility of a source or an individual. And really what it comes down to are a few things: context, relevance, and subjectivity.
Yes. And so I just want to say, I agree with all of this, the checklist, and I want to encourage people to apply it even to the checklist. Like, some of these things you may not agree with, and what you will find from what we're going to be talking about, that's okay. You should take what you think is right.
Exactly. The people who are listening to the show have their critical thinking hats on. I think it's safe to assume. But yeah, I think that's a great point. We have our perspectives and experiences. I work with different sorts of people. I've had certain jobs. You've had your career in different companies and at different times. And so I think that's a very fair point.
Yeah. And I just want to be very clear. I have a critical thinking fascinator on. It's, you know, it's more feathers. So yes, perspective and experience. When you are, and we've mentioned this before on previous podcasts, look for people with similar backgrounds and similar sort of values to you, right? So for example, if you're looking for advice on getting a job, if you can talk to the kind of people who you would want to work for and find out what they value and what they're looking for, that's the best. That's the best possible advice you can get because they are going to give you exactly what you need to do to convince them that you're the right hire. Or you'll find out, oh, you're looking for something that isn't at all like me, and I maybe need to reevaluate. And those are both fine. I'm going to really screw with you when I say you should also get information from people with different backgrounds, because a different perspective does help, especially if what you're currently doing is not working. A lot of times we spend a lot of time, we read a lot of the same people, we get the same influencers, all the same thought leaders, and we're all doing the same thing. And oh, why isn't any of this working? I don't know. Maybe talk to somebody who's got a little bit of a different take on it, right? Talk to somebody or listen to people who maybe are doing stuff a little bit differently and get some ways to stand out from folks. Just having a diversity of perspectives is important. But again, you really need to put all of this through the filter of consider the source. What works for me as an old is not necessarily going to work for you as a young. What works for me as a woman may not work for a man or a non-binary person. It just depends. I hate using that phrase over and over, but it's true.
It's true, but it's also, that means technically things are, there are infinite considerations and no one has time for that shit. So it's like, what are the heuristics? And going back to perspective and experience, what is their background? Have they been in engineering for 10 years? Have they been in design as a hiring manager? Have they mostly been an IC? Have they been in their career for a year, tenure? I think that's usually an important indicator. Although, again, it depends. Some people who are earlier on in their careers have really great perspectives to share, right?
Yeah, and sometimes you want that person who's only a couple of years ahead of you. Like, mm-hmm. as much as you want to talk to the people who might hire you, you also want to talk to the person who got the job that you want, but got it last year. How did they get it? You don't necessarily want the person who's been around the longest. You want the person who's doing the thing that you want to do.
Laura, right, how'd you get your first job in 1990, whatever?
Okay, so I started out training dinosaurs in the, let's not talk about that, because you would need a time machine to follow my path. Although writing blog posts about whether Flash or HTML4 are going to be the winners, I think it's a good model. It's a good model. You should do everything that I did exactly the way that I did it.
Exactly. So, I think diversity is absolutely important. And we'll talk more about, can you assume that someone is reputable or credible based on certain aspects? There are correlations and causations, but it's not always the case.
Yeah. And the reputation thing is interesting, because you can have a really good reputation. And so, for example, I have spent a lot of time doing work with startups, and I have done a lot of consulting and freelancing stuff. And of course, I've written, and I have spent some time more recently in a larger organization. I've worked with some larger organizations. If you're ever taking my advice on anything, you're probably safer taking my advice on the startup stuff and the IC stuff, the stuff that I'm actually doing now, which I have been doing for less time and have less breadth of knowledge about. So you have to look at that, right? If you're talking to somebody who's been an IC for 20 years, are they going to give you great advice about becoming a manager? Maybe, maybe not. No. Less likely to. So keep it in mind. If you're talking to somebody, like you said, if you're talking to somebody with an engineering background, so look at what their reputation is, right? What is their reputation for? Did they found a great startup? Fantastic. You should absolutely, maybe or maybe not, take some of their advice. You should consider taking their advice about founding startups. Should you take their advice about how to design products?
This is a good time to mention sample size, right? Yeah. So we can't talk to 50 people about one thing. And I do think socializing as part of a job search is very important. Getting on the old networking site and connecting and nurturing those relationships. But let's say you do want to learn more about going from an IC to a manager role. Just find 5 people who work in your field and who made that happen, and talk to them and look for the patterns, look for the differences. Maybe some of them have been at Google for 10 years. Maybe they've worked in startups. Maybe they've only been a freelancer, right? So like, sample size is good. Think about the different variables you might want to consider. And you might eventually reach a saturation point, is what we call it in UX research, where you've gone, okay, I've talked to enough people, I've done just enough research to know that I have the information I need to understand this path.
Yeah, I actually did that when I wanted to move from IC to manager, like just a few years ago. I interviewed a ton of UX managers, high level managers, directors, that kind of thing, just to understand literally what is your job? What do you do? What do you like about it? And it meant that when I did make the switch, it was much easier for me than it would have been going in cold. And so that is really good advice. It really does help and work to just listen to the folks who are doing the thing that you want to do.
And I have one question. So reputation, mm-hmm. online presence, social mm-hmm. media followers, is that indicative of reputation, do you think?
As somebody who has a huge number of LinkedIn followers and used to be big on Twitter, of course I want to say, yes, Amy, obviously. But I'm going to just be like, yeah, don't listen to thought leaders because we're all full of shit.
Yeah, especially like self-described thought leaders. Watch out, just see. Yeah. Maybe it's fine. Mm-hmm. But no, I think, yeah, again, there are certain correlations, right? But there are plenty of people who have a lot of quote unquote followers who share misinformation and maybe they don't realize it, or maybe they're a bit more closed-minded of a person. And that can be especially problematic, I think, in very rapidly changing fields like design and engineering. So I think there isn't necessarily a correlation there. And there are plenty of people who don't really care about posting content on LinkedIn, but they'll come on every now and then and say something that's really meaningful and relevant to people.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes down to something that I want to hear you talk about, which is the motivations, because a lot of people become thought leaders because they post thoughtful things and talk about interesting things and really help people. And some people get a lot of followers for other reasons. There's a lot of ways to do that. And yeah.
Are they trying to raise VC money? Are they trying to build their brand, and towards what end? Is it a company? Are they trying to sell things? And selling things is not necessarily bad. I think there's some people who happen to be a business or sell things, like myself.
It's true. It can feel a little weird, like that, what that balance is, because I occasionally sell a book, very occasionally. And trust me, my publisher would love it if I would talk way more about them, and I am just not going to do that. But yeah, you can tell the people who are just posting stuff because they want to convince you that what you really need is to hire them for a lot of money, as opposed to, here are things that are actually valuable and useful, and here are some content that I will give you for free. And if you want more, you can talk to me. Like, you can hire me. That's fine. That's great. I would love that. But I'm going to actually give you value for free because I think it's important for it to be out in the world.
Absolutely. And that's definitely my approach. And I appreciate that about other people. And I'm not anti-selling. People can do whatever they want. But it is at least obvious to me when there are folks selling courses or whatever, taking advantage perhaps of a market opportunity in a more shady kind of way.
Is now the time, Amy, for me to talk about my blockchain AI class that I will be teaching in the metaverse? I think now's the time really for me to pitch that. No, okay. So actually, that's a good segue into the next section, which is, who shouldn't you listen to? Because it feels like we've drifted into this just a bit.
Yeah. Who shouldn't we listen to? Of course, anyone who says that there's only one right way to do something, if you don't do your resume in this exact way, it's going to get eaten by the ATS bot thought influencer algorithm inside the system.
Not the algorithm. Yeah. Yes. Let me be perfectly clear. There are a lot of wrong ways to do things. I never want there is one right way to do something to translate into everything is fine. It's mm-hmm. not. There are some terrible ways to do things. The horrifying thing to me is sometimes the terrible ways work. Like, once in a great while, you'll hear of somebody doing something that's just, and you're just like, why, who went for that? Who said yes to the hand-delivered resume that was sprayed with perfume and delivered with, what?
Do you remember the mid-2010s trend of quantifying your skill set with like bar charts?
Oh yeah, no, I had a whole thing. Yeah, it was a different time, Amy.
No, I never did that shit.
I'm just saying, it was a different time. It was, but shit like that catches on. People do it. They're like, yay, this is a thing. And it, the funny thing is, sometimes some of these weird ways will work because the person you're sending it to, they're super into it, or because, like, you never know. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, there are certain things that you can do that are just wrong, right? And it's useful to hear what those wrong ways generally are. You know, I mean, I will tell you, we've discussed this before with application tracking systems. As somebody who has used a few of them, I will tell you, the parsing on them is terrible. And my favorite time was when I was looking at somebody's resume and it literally printed out backwards. Because it was so complicated and it had been like, it had so many different fonts and things, and like the system tried to show me a simplified version. And I swear to God, it was printed out backwards. I probably took a screenshot at some point. And it was, I thought I was having a stroke, Amy. Because I'm like, this doesn't, why can't I read? And it was just too complicated for the system to handle. But there is no single perfect way to write your resume. There's a lot of things that you should do that are going to be really specific to you and your needs.
And follow some recruiters on LinkedIn. I follow so many recruiters and I learned so many things from them. People working at all kinds of different companies who are dispelling a lot of these myths. They are saying exactly how the process works. They're like, basically, don't worry about ATS. If you're a fit for the role, we'll notice that. And then a human will look at your resume. You might get kicked out automatically if you don't meet a very immediate qualification that you answer within an application, like, can you work in the US or do you need sponsorship? Okay, we can't help with that, so sorry. Or how many years of experience do you have with X, right? And recruiters can set those up front, but there isn't like this bot. Anyway, we don't have to talk about this in depth, but the kernel of truth here is that there is a system that tries to parse or make sense of stuff and get your info into your tracking file. It tracks you as an applicant. But people have picked up on that and a mythology has been built around it. And because people repeat it over and over, and it's exactly how misinformation works, that seems truthful, it gets repeated, people believe it, and then folks like us have to spend time dispelling these myths. I feel like I have to talk about this one at least once a week.
No, it's a great point. No, I love the advice of talking to recruiters too. That's in a very similar vein to talking to the hiring manager that you actually want. But when we're talking about who not to listen to, the kind of the flip side to some of the stuff we were talking about before is like, just you don't need to listen to people who haven't done what you want to do. Like, maybe they have great advice, maybe they don't. You don't really have any way of contextualizing that, but like, a lot of people want to talk to like their best friend or their significant other. And a lot of people, especially early on in their careers, before they have any sort of context for who to actually listen to, don't realize that like their advice from 20 years ago or even like their advice about an entirely different industry or their advice about a totally different kind of job. Mm-hmm. So don't listen to people who haven't done the thing you want to do. Because they're trying to be helpful, but they're just often the opposite of that. Anyway, yeah. The other thing that you'll find is that sometimes you will listen to two people who just have entirely different advice on things. And sometimes they're both completely valid, and you just have to pick. Mm-hmm. And I think in that case, it's really important to really check against your gut. You need to check the advice against your values, against your critical thinking skills. What would you feel happy and comfortable doing? What do you think would make you more successful?
Yeah, what resonates with you and your situation, your goals, your career path? It's subjective, it's contextual. And the relevance of it depends on a lot of these factors.
Yeah. I want to hear you talk about people who are applying to hundreds of jobs too, because I know that we've had good conversations about that. And I think that you should share your perspective on just spray and pray.
Yeah. Being intentional, being discerning, knowing what you really want, knowing who you really are, the kind of work you want to do. That's all really important for successful job search. And the reason is because you're thinking more strategically about how to spend your time. You're being more selective with where you're applying. So maybe it seems counterintuitive to some people. It's not about applying to 100, 300, 1,000 jobs. And I regularly see people post about applying to a lot of jobs. And it's highly likely that they weren't qualified for most of those jobs. It's very obvious that they're not being selective. They're really misusing their time. But again, it's like the ATS. It's not about necessarily, okay, what's the actual truth here? That's one helpful thing. But the other helpful thing is the fact that if a lot of people do it that way and talk about it, then other people are going to assume that is the reality and that is how things should be done. And it puts a false pressure on people. That person has applied a false pressure on themselves, and there's been detrimental effects for that person who's applied for 1,000 jobs and is still looking a year later. There's something else going on there, right? So I think there's just a danger in assuming that something that a lot of people talk about doing is the way it should be or has to be. And another important thing here, going back to how we're spending our time going through the job search or hiring process, is because there's infinite amounts of information and it's just increasing more and more as more people come into the job market, more people decide they want to be on LinkedIn and sharing information, posting Medium articles. We only have so much time in the day. We only have so much energy, and job search is a lot in and of itself. So can we make the process more efficient somehow? And I think one way to do it is to seek out a handful of folks who you can follow on LinkedIn, who you trust. Sign up for a couple of newsletters from well-known, reputable, credible industry leaders, thought leaders, thought influencers, whatever.
Thoughtfluencers.
Thoughtfluencers. TM. Yes. Yeah. Find them, find the good ones, and sign up for their newsletter. Or do a coaching session with them, or attend, you know, their workshop or whatever. See if you can spend less time to make the process more efficient, bring the information to you rather than just Googling every single thing, right? Like, how can you help yourself in that way? And there are plenty of folks who do that for that reason. Maybe they're selling something, or maybe they really care about supporting the community and growing practitioners and helping people during a really challenging job market.
The important thing is that, again, you want to listen very closely to what is important to that person. What are they trying to get out of? What are they optimizing for in their advice to you? So here's the example that I always like to give. Some people maximize for money. Some people will give you advice that is, here's how to get the most money the earliest. And you know what? If you want to just be rolling in dough, hey, invite me on your yacht. That's the first rule. Second rule is go for it. That's fine. You get to choose to optimize for that. If you want to optimize for work-life balance, if you want to optimize for doing good in the world, if you want to optimize for something else, that's great. Do those things. But you can't follow the advice of somebody who is telling you, here's how to get the best paying job, and expect it to help you get the job that does the most good in the world. It is very unlikely that the one piece of advice will lead you to the other thing. You need to understand what they think is important. And a lot of times we give advice about, I used to, on my other podcast, What is Wrong with UX, I used to give a lot of advice with Kate Rutter on how to make better products. And that was always the goal. The goal was always to make better products. It wasn't necessarily to make the most money. So keep that in mind. Like, right, what are you maximizing for? What are you optimizing for? On this, I'll just be perfectly upfront. I want to help people get jobs. I want to see people get jobs that they want to get. I want to see people doing stuff that they like doing. And I want more good designers in the world because it makes my job and life easier.
I think that's a great point. And there's a lot of stuff that we really have to look under the surface for in some way. Look at the person's LinkedIn. What have they done? Have they taught anywhere? How long is their career? See if you can read between the lines. I think the more we practice this information awareness, information literacy, critical thinking, critical analysis practices, the better we get at spotting things. And sometimes, unfortunately, people share stuff that they don't realize is incorrect. People don't know what they don't know. So there are things out there that they're speaking on, but then there's this whole other side of it that they're not even considering. People have their own experiences, and oftentimes humans, we all do this. We have a bias towards our personal experiences and the experiences of the people we know. And if the person says, now this is only my experience, just keep that in mind. Great. If they don't say that, we have to remind ourselves of that.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I will say things that sometimes, like folks like you, you talk to a lot of different UXers. So you are naturally going to have a much broader experience and understanding of what other people are experiencing. You are going to have an extremely broad view of the different kinds of problems, for example, that people run into when they're trying to get a job. For me, when I'm trying to get jobs, I'm going to have a very deep understanding of all the ways in which I fail at doing it right. And I will be very helpful to other people who are very similar to me. But I have to be very clear, that is my personal experience. Or when I'm a hiring manager, this is the experience of other people who are trying to get a job from me, which, let me tell you, is just an absolute nightmare and you shouldn't try it.
This podcast is about you.
This podcast is really, of course it is.
No, that's a good point. I worked in UX for 10-ish years, worked in a lot of places. I would be doing a huge disservice to go into coaching or sharing info online based on just my experience. I learn from every client. I've had hundreds of clients at this point. It's very important for me to make sure I'm informed, which is why I follow recruiters, because I don't know what that process is like in depth. And so I can learn those things from them. And I'm like a sponge for all this information and can filter it back and tell people the things they need to know. Not everyone has this approach though. So we just have to watch out and protect ourselves and make sure we're taking things in with a critical eye so that the steps we take and the decisions we make over the job search process are going to serve us.
Yeah. And if I had to sum this up, I would say the most important person to listen to when you're searching for a job is you. You have to filter it through your understanding, and you have to understand, again, who is giving you the advice? What is their motivation? What are they trying to sell you? What are they trying to get out of it? What are they optimizing for? What do you want? You know, figure these questions out. Again, if you approach all of this as like a research or a design problem, it's a little bit easier. And I don't know, maybe that's wrong for you. And that's okay.
No, that's the one thing you should do always, no matter what.
Yes, you should always do this one thing, which is listen to Laura and Amy. That is all the time that we have for today. If there is a question or topic that you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on LinkedIn. And by us, of course, I do mean Amy. She is the one who listens to people and responds to them. I am Laura.
And I'm Amy.
And we want to thank all of you for listening and wish you all the best of luck with your search. No matter what you're looking for, we're rooting for you.